I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The winner to organize the 2022 FIFA World Cup is Qatar.
The Qatar World Cup is finally here. But just what kind of place is hosting the biggest sporting event on the planet? I'm Kate Mason, and in September, I went to Doha to see things for myself.
It was the weirdest day of my life.
It said Qatar is doing everything it can. How do you quantify that? That's the sort of thing you can just say.
So basically they wanted to charge me under the Espionage Act.
I've spoken to female footballers in the country, the first Qatari man to come out as gay, residents in Doha whose future is uncertain, and the workers who helped build this World Cup, all to find out how it's changed people's lives there.
There's like so many like opportunities and stadiums for women to use, but like it's just that they don't want to because they can't.
And the big question is, what's going to happen after the World Cup? What's going to happen when that spotlight moves on?
Physical health, everybody knows, but nobody knows the mental health.
This is Inside the Qatar World Cup, the Football Ramble's brand new three-part series. You can listen to all three episodes right now. Just search Football Ramble in your favourite podcast app.
We'll be right back.
Mr. Worldwide to Infinity, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble, sponsored by Betfair. Brazil and Portugal are up and running. It's Friday, 25th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Hi, everybody. It's Friday. Yes, one can forget with all this World Cup action, but it is Pitbull Day. Oh, my goodness. Jim Campbell next to me in the studio. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You're right. The World Cup is one of those periods where you do sort of forget what day it is a little bit,
yes.
Which is nice, isn't it?
And Andy Brassel, who's currently in Qatar.
Yes. What I want to know, and I guess what our listeners really want to know, Marcus, yeah. You got the keys to the weekend. Have you got the keys to the World Cup weekend? Because it's Friday and England are playing. Come on, give us a jangle.
Oh, all right. But towards the end, Andy.
Okay, yeah, fair enough, fair enough.
I stress that I'm only in charge of things that are happening on this island. where you are, Andy, I am not responsible for a moment of it. But of course, England is the big one tonight. England versus the US. We'll be getting to our preview. I'm getting giddy. It's exciting. We'll get to our preview of that in the second half. Now, of course, at the time of recording, we are Wales and Iran will be being played, so we won't have any coverage on that. But we will begin with last night's action: Portugal 3, Ghana 2. Andy, you were at the game. I hope you didn't leave 25 minutes before the end.
I didn't, despite the fact I went to the Brazil game directly afterwards.
Okay.
There was no chance of that. And fortunate, as you say. I said afterwards on Twitter that the second half was absolutely shambolic football. It really was. It was like all the players were hungover or something in that last little bit. Like they had a few at half time. I mean, it was the best 45 of the tournament for me so far.
Yeah, it was better than the first, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the best 45 of that match, we can all agree.
Yeah. But, I mean, Andy, it was the first football of the day, you might argue.
Yeah, Andy, you've been quite vocal on Twitter saying that Didier Deschamps, Gareth Southgate and now, what's his name, old Gil, the Portugal manager.
Fernando Santos.
Fernando Santos.
Oh, old Gil.
Yeah, he's a bit like old Gil in The Simpsons, isn't he?
Yes, he is, yeah.
that those three have provided some of the most attacking football and it's kind of freaking you out a bit. So you had to go to Qatar to see for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, Fernando Santos definitely didn't plan this.
That's why he looks so troublesome.
There's very little plan with Portugal. I mean, it's almost as if you play probably seven or eight of the starters out of the positions that they play for their clubs.
Yeah.
It's going to be completely chaotic and dysfunctional. And that certainly proved to be the case. It was way harder for Portugal than it should have been. And entertaining as this was, I would not bet a penny on them getting like far in this World Cup.
Yeah, which is surprising that Andy says that, although it is only Andy's opinion. But they've got some good players, and they've got Piers Morgan's favourite, Cristiano Ronaldo.
They do, and obviously, you know, he got his penalty.
Ronaldo was trending.
Absolutely, Ronaldo. He's all over that.
He'll never escape it.
No, he won't escape it.
What's he got to do in the game, Jim, to escape that?
There's nothing he can do because it bothers him. And we all know, if you let people know that something they do bothers you, they will keep doing it.
Jim, do you think it does bother him? I think at this point in the time...
Him. It does, Andy.
At this point in time, I think he probably quite enjoys it. I mean, a goal's a goal, right?
Andy, he's befriended Piers Morgan and gives him interviews about stuff that bothers him. That's how much it...
Yeah,
we know the lengths he goes to if he's bothered about something.
His goal is about to go way beyond football. He will be seeking omnipotence now. He'll be like searching caves for magic amulets and whatnot to make himself into a literal god. Yeah. So being called Ronaldo is absolutely enough to bother him.
Yeah, I think so.
But I thought, this game was weird, wasn't it? You said it was very dysfunctional in the second half, but it did feature essentially the perfect order of scoring in a World Cup game if you need it to be good, because obviously the moment Portugal went ahead, you think, all right, here we go, they're probably going to see this game out. It's been kind of a bit chaotic, but a bit drab at the same time. But then when Ghana get a surprise equaliser and Portugal have to go for it, that's what you want, you know? Like, because if Ghana go ahead, they just shut up and they tried to defend, but suddenly it became a game. And we've seen it quite a bit, haven't we? Like, in previous World Cups, not so much the last one or even the one before it, really, but where, you know...
Still jaded by South Africa.
Exactly, yeah, but a goal... And Italian 90 was a bit like this as well. Like, a goal can actually kill a game rather than open it up. But this order of scoring meant this was really, really good. And it became really fun. I think we needed it after yesterday as well.
And the manner of the first goal, obviously, was a penalty. Incredibly soft penalty to the point
I agree.
Of,
I think it was a dive. I'm going to come out and say it.
Yeah.
I think it was a dive.
Yeah. Andy, you're on the ground there. I know you don't want Ronaldo to throw another one of your microphones in the river again or whatever body of water they have in Qatar. A coast, maybe.
Ornamental fountain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. An ornamental fountain.
Look, the phone's not working. It's in some water. Let's move on.
There we are.
I've brought several bags of rice with me just in case.
I just wanted to see his little stompy face where if they'd have overturned that. But it was given. He took the penalty where he looked a little bit nervous. But then that just could be our, misreading his face. Matthew Ridley on Twitter said, to help out the commentator, Ronaldo scoring a penalty is not box office. At this stage, it's a syndication on a Freeview channel you're not quite sure exists.
Yeah, it's Hot Fuzz on ITV2.
Lovely, lovely. I don't know whether this is Ronaldo's fault because of his temperament, or it's so ridiculous what he's achieved in the game, we have to make it comical. Because despite all that, he became the first male player to score at 5 World Cups. A stunning achievement.
Yeah,
to play at 5, to play at 3.
Especially as this isn't a guy sort of coming off the bench late on in a victory that's wrapped up. It's a guy that's still, very much part and parcel of the team.
It's absolutely phenomenal.
And he's now Portugal's youngest and oldest goal scorer World Cups.
It's just incredible.
I think it's interesting to see him aping Gareth Bale rather than the other way round, which was very much the case. You know, if you remember that episode of Friends where the two lads across the hall, Matt LeBlanc and the other one, grow moustaches to look like Tom Selleck. That was Bale.
Matthew Perry, Andy. All
right, thank you. That was Bale at Real Madrid, wasn't it? In the early years.
Yeah.
Whereas now, bloke who can no longer properly run around for 90 minutes, absolutely leathers in a penalty to make sure. I mean, Ronaldo does it like a couple of days later.
Yeah.
I find that quite amusing.
So if Gareth Bale was doing some sort of tribute or whatever, what was Bakari, the Ghanaian player who did the Ronaldo celebration in the last minute doing?
I mean, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah,
the easiest director's edit of all time, because all you do is just go to the recently replaced Ronaldo on the bench. But when I was talking about before, Fernando Santos is really quite poor coaching of this very, very good group of players.
Yeah,
I was saying to my friend who's next to me, when they made those subs at the end, and Ronaldo and Joao Felix, who was really good actually, got their little round of applause. I was like, bearing in mind that how much injury time there is in this World Cup, how much stoppage time there is in this World Cup, if you're 3-1 up and you've not played particularly competently, why would you make 3 subs with like a minute to go in normal time? Because if there's 8 or 9 minutes to go and Ghana score right now, and just as I was getting to the end of that sentence, Ghana actually did score, Bakari did score, I think you're in a real hole. And it was a hole completely of their own making.
Yeah, well, it's a good point, actually, that with regards to subs and towards the end of the game. And because Iñaki Williams robbed Diogo Costa of the ball in the last minute, which would have been quite... We haven't seen that for a while, or I certainly haven't anyway, in a game of football.
And it's like Shay Given and Dion Dublin.
The famous one. I mean, that one, of course, Dion Dublin was off the pitch. So he left the field of play. There was a bit of controversy. But this one was perfectly legitimate. He just hid, essentially.
He did, yeah. And he slipped, didn't he?
I know. Imagine if he'd put it that way.
It would have been brilliant.
That would have been one of the great World Cup. I mean, recently on a pod, we talked about great World Cup moments, and I talked about Roger Miller nicking the ball off René Higuita in 1990. Yeah. In a modern-day equivalent, because you don't get goalkeepers doing that kind of crazy Higuita stuff, this wouldn't have been far off it. This would have been a moment.
That would have been better.
An equalising goal hadn't been 3-1 down. After the three subs, Andy, that would have been scrutinised even more.
That would have been even better spells. I don't think there's any doubt about it, because at least, you know, Higuita could see Roger Miller.
It was all his own doing, yeah, whereas Costa was a very, very fortunate man. But it wasn't to be. It wasn't. What about that Bakari guy? I mean, the celebration, did you see that he said, I've noticed my celebration has generated comments on social media claiming I was disrespectful towards Ronaldo. Yes. This is incorrect. I was overcome by the emotion of the moment of scoring for my country, so presumably not pre-planned then, on my World Cup debut leading to my celebration. My upbringing doesn't permit me to be disrespectful to elders, let alone one of my idols. Make what you will of that. Glorious stuff. Gentlemen, let's turn our attention briefly, if we can, to Ghanaian midfielder Mohamed Kudus, who claimed, Neymar is not better than me, just more high profile. That was in an interview with The Guardian, of course. He since tweeted denying the quote and claimed it is fake news. He insisted he would never have made such a comment because he respects the elderly.
Sauce all over this World Cup.
What is going
Absolutely
on here?
Absolutely covered in sauce.
I don't...
Neil Custis's shirt.
Oh, dear. One other game took place in that group, of course, yesterday. Uruguay, South Korea. A 0-0 draw.
Yes.
It was a totally total opposite of the game we just spoke about.
It wasn't great.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of shots, not many on target. Was it Diogo Dean went close with a header, I think, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, I mean... But
lovely to still see
him
there.
Yeah, but it's like dog wants to go outside, isn't it?
Yeah.
As news. Of course Diogo Godin went close with a header.
I was sort of half hoping that... what was his name? Diego Lugano, who was partnering him in the centre.
Well, Martin Cáceres was playing at 35 years old.
Yeah, well, I think Lugano's like firmly in his 40s now. But it was nice to see Cáceres in his big long shorts. That's a staple of the World Cup. Dearie me. Gentlemen, let's talk about the group that concerns Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland and Cameroon. Of course, Switzerland beat Cameroon 1-0. But talking of, you know, people having beef and so on, Vincent Aboubakar, of course, he was the one who said ahead of the tournament he can do anything that Mo Salah does. He only managed 15 minutes off the bench of that game that they lost 1-0 to Switzerland. So
more minutes than Salah's going to get.
Yes, that's true. So, yeah.
He's a good player, Vincent Aboubakar, and I simply do not understand this beef. It's really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit like a lovely pork chop saying, well, I'm better than that fine steak. But no, look, you're not, but you're good. Like, yeah. You're absolutely fine. Like, we enjoy you. Don't stop. Just stop it.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Like there are many things in this World Cup that are surprising and unpredictable. You promoting pork chops is not one of those things.
Do you not like a pork chop, Andy? And I understand you're in Qatar. You've got to be careful what you say.
It's not for me, really. No.
All right. Okay. Well, you're in the right place then. Of course, Cameroon lost 1-0 to Switzerland. That Brill Embolo goal. Refused to celebrate against the country of his birth, as somebody pointed out on Twitter. That was what Vish wants. At the World Cup for England to play Sri Lanka and to score. So,
if ever there's a time to not celebrate, I think that's the one, isn't it?
Yeah, I had a lot of respect for that. Yeah. I thought fair play.
It's not Scott Sinclair not celebrating against Chelsea, is it?
No, but that one was, no. He was apologising. You see, it's the apology that pisses me off in particular.
Right, okay.
If you score and you don't wave your hands and go mad, you just kind of, you let your teammates hug you. It's when you hold your hands up and go, oh yeah, I feel really, you don't feel bad. All right, we'll chalk it off your tally then.
Why'd you do it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You silly sausage. Okay. Brazil 2, Serbia 0. We've saw them. We've finally seen the tournament favourites. As Gary Lineker said, does a World Cup really get underway until Brazil play? Well, they have played. The World Cup is undeniably underway. So they were the final teams, of course, that we hadn't seen in these first round matches, if you like, Jim, Brazil and Serbia. Before we talk about Brazil, who's influenced you, impressed you would be the more correct word.
I think Brazil were very impressive yesterday, But I would say the team I've been most impressed by so far is France. Because you might argue that they kind of, obviously there's a black mark because they went 1-0 down. But the way they responded to that, I thought was excellent. They didn't even look fazed by it. They almost seemed to enjoy the challenge a bit more. And obviously, you know, they've got some big players missing, and playing with Giroud instead of Benzema is a big change to the way they play. But it flows and it works. And they just really, really looked like they were having fun. So they've obviously been excellent. I think you can't discount Spain, because very impressive to win 7-0 against anybody. But I think Costa Rica are clearly sort of probably the weakest team in the World Cup based on that showing. They weren't very organised, and they weren't doing the basics required. And Brazil, and obviously I almost feel like I'm at jinx thing saying it, but I think England are in that bracket as well. Those two goals that we conceded are annoying, but they were very, very impressive. Definitely. But so those four teams, really.
Yeah, Andy, any disagreements?
I don't disagree with any of that. I think that's absolutely spot on. I think probably the most revealing of all those, as Jim hinted at, is the fact that France sort of got themselves into a mini hole and dug themselves out of it with incredible ease. Mm. Because it wasn't just the fact they conceded a goal. So one of their key players tore his cruciate ligaments in the build-up to that goal. I mean, you know, it had like World Cup disaster moment all over it, really. And they just rose above it. So
what about Brazil then, Andy? Let's talk about them, because
I think the thing with Brazil that's impressed me, and they were my pre-tournament favourites anyway, as well as a lot of other people's, and I believe the markets. They just defensively look so on top of things.
Yeah,
and I think that's what sets them apart from other teams. I mean, I know we were all chatting on the Ramble group last night about how top heavy that team is. But I was speaking to Alisson about it afterwards, and he was saying, well, you know, we had the best defensive record in qualifying, and which is, you know, the most hard qualifying in the world, as well as the best attack. And he said, everyone defends. I think if you look at someone like Lucas Paquetá, for example, you know, there's that perception when he's in the team that, wow, they're going on a bit of a flyer there, and it gives a lot of work to Casemiro. But Paquetá, even though he's probably naturally a number 10, you know, he makes his tackles and he can do that deeper role.
He was fantastic yesterday. That was absolutely one that sort of raised a few eyebrows in our WhatsApp group, didn't it?
I was worried.
It's very, very attacking. But yeah, Paquetá, it's a side of his game that I'm not familiar with, but he looks an absolute natural in there.
Mm. I was worried for Casemiro, if I'm honest. I looked at him and I thought he's going to have to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
When I looked at that lineup.
But he likes doing a lot of work.
Well, indeed he does.
I think the really telling thing was by the end of the game, Serbia, it wasn't like they looked like they'd given up. But they looked so roundly beaten that they couldn't get the ball, and that the effect was the same as if they had given up. Because once Brazil started purring, again, it was similar to France, wasn't it? There was a sense they're really enjoying it out there. And they knew there were a couple more goals that they didn't need, but they wanted.
Well, you saw them in the scenes of the Brazilian players turning up, and there was a handful of them, you know, singing away and dancing and all that. And just, they love it. This is their stage.
They live it.
And we haven't mentioned Richarlison, of course, but a great brace he scored. As Vermilion Dynamite put it on Twitter, he's already matched his whopping Spurs goal tally, which is perhaps a comment that you might have enjoyed, Jim. But he scored 9 goals in his last 7 games for Brazil. You know, he scores goals at international football. There's no two ways about that. The first one, great reaction. Nothing should be taken away from him, but it always is going to be overshadowed when you score a goal like that second one. It was a beauty.
Absolute classic.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant finish.
Uh-huh. Slight Jurgen Klinsmann against South Korea, 94 vibe.
Definitely.
But more spectacular, of course. But, I mean, he's going to bang him in. And I regret not having him down for top goal scorer. but they're going to need him, because Neymar could be in trouble. He looked visibly upset after being substituted with the ankle injury about 10 minutes before the end. And, you know, he could be in a bit of bother with that injury.
It's a massive deal. There's no getting away from that. And it was interesting, before they did their press conference last night, Brazil, one of the media representatives came out and said Brazil's team doctor will be coming out and giving a statement on the health of Neymar's ankle. Which I thought was quite interesting. You know, obviously they're trying to shut down just questions being asked about his state of health the next... Well, I mean, it's not going to work, but at least we broadly know what the thing is. The ankle looked very swollen. You know, there's no doubt about that. And he limped through the mix zone, the bit where they come out of the dressing rooms to chat or not chat to the journalists afterwards, very, very slowly, with looking mildly sad with a massive pair of gold headphones on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and of course, he's been there before. It was a bit more spectacular last time, but you know, you don't want that to be weighing on the player's mind and the squad, you would say.
To me, Marcus, it feels like, without jumping the gun, they're maybe a little bit more emotionally set for it this time.
I mean, yeah, they would
Brazil,
have to be.
With Brazil, it's never really been a question of talent. I think you go back to, like, even the 2010 World Cup, 2014, 2018, they didn't really... I think it's more of a tactical thing in 2018, really, mm-hmm. against Belgium. And, you know, Roberto Martinez completely outthought them. But it feels like they're a little bit more on top of it. And what Jim was saying about them being pleased to be there, when you spoke to the players afterwards, you really got a sense of that. They're enjoying each other's company. They're enjoying the occasion. They feel lucky to be there. And the vibes that follow them round are incredible. They really are incredible. The atmosphere was... You know, not fervent, because, you know, it's mainly people who live in Qatar here, mm-hmm. rather than Brazilian supporters. But, you know, there's a palpable excitement, particularly after that Richarlison goal, obviously.
Yeah, what a way to kind of wrap up the, as I say, the first round matches. We did see Mitrovic start for Serbia, but isolated, you know, Serbia just second best, you know, yeah. you understand that, of course. They only managed 5 shots, none of which were on target. Only 3 teams have had less shots in the tournament so far. One being Saudi Arabia, so not always a bad idea.
Yeah, that's surprising, actually, because, you know, in the first half, they didn't look out of their depth at all, did they? And it's not like they were out of their depth in the game. They're clearly a decent team. I still think they've got a good chance of going through that group, based on what we saw in the other game.
Yeah, exactly. It will be quite tight, that group. But I suppose you could also say that they only lost 2-0, because the way it went, it could have been 3-4, and goal difference could be crucial, gentlemen. All right. Oh, quickly, before we go for a break. Now, if you're looking for even more World Cup content to get your teeth into, we can highly recommend you listen to this latest episode of another one of the Stack shows. Eureka is the podcast where Rick Edwards and Dr. Michael Brooks find the answers to fascinating science questions with the help of world-leading experts. And this week they're asking, could AI win England the World Cup? Here's a clip.
The first psychometric test, or first data testing, was before the 1958 World Cup.
Really?
Done by the Brazilians. So they basically had a kind of psychometric test for their team. So where they looked at personalities and tried to get a sort of quantitative measure of who should be in the squad and who shouldn't. And guess who they said definitely shouldn't be in the squad because of his infantile and lacking fighting spirit?
Pele.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done, guys.
So obviously the manager's like, yeah, thanks for that. He's in.
Appreciate your time. Have you seen this guy play football at all?
And he scored 6 during the championship, 2 in the final, I think, and they won.
Well, artificial intelligence come a long way since then, of course. That episode's fascinating. Give it a listen. And Rick and Michael are joined by Sven, not that one, sadly, Sven Schwerin Wenzel, who is also a very good Sven, I can confirm. He worked with the German national team during the 2014 World Cup, which, of course, when they were world champions. So if you like the sound of that, search Eureka wherever you get your pods. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
How's your English accent? You know, because sometimes, you know, celebrities will live in England and then all of a sudden they come back with a little bit of an accent or some phrases.
My English accent's all right, I think.
Oh.
I can work on it a bit.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Who was that, Jim, being spoken to?
Some Englishman.
Oh, I was half...
Christian Pulisic.
Oh, I was half expecting the response to be, unbelievable, Jeff! Which would have been quite enjoyable. All right, everybody, now it's time for Betfair's popular bet builder. When you Betfair on the World Cup, you can use Betfair's handy app to place your bet builders. And you'll get access to some pretty decent handouts too. Every day this week, you can get a completely free £2 bet builder on any World Cup match. That's right, pick any match this week and you can place a £2 bet builder absolutely free. We're here to place our very own Ramble popular bet builder for today's big game. Of course, it's England versus the United States. Jim, you're up first. What are you going for?
I'm going to go for Harry Kane to score at any time because England look like they're in the goals. And obviously, as we know, Kane didn't score in the first game, but he had a very, very good game. He's, you know, a threat from penalties, of course. And who knows, we might get one. So I've gone for Harry Kane to score at any time.
Understandable. Andy, what about you?
Well, following on from Jim saying that England should be fast out the blocks, I'm going for England to be winning at half time. I have a suspicion they might be winning at full time as well.
Oh, I see. We asked our very own Pete Donaldson what he would like to chip in with. He had this to say.
Hello, Pete here. I'm going to go for over 3.5 cards. I think it's going to be pretty spicy. England want those points to make the Wales game a bit of a dead rubber. And the USA need points on the board. They need a win. So, 3.5 cards, please.
Okay. And I am going to go for both teams to score. I do fancy England to win, but I don't fancy our centre of defence. A little bit shaky.
Fair.
So, everybody, Jim's gone Harry Kane to score any time. Andy, England to be leading at half time. Pete's gone for over 3.5 cards. And I've gone for both teams to score. A £5 bet on this popular bet builder will return £53.78. If we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, you can place a £2 bet builder on this game or any game this week for absolutely free. Maximum one free £2 bet per customer per day. Applies to any bet builder on any World Cup game from the 20th to the 26th of November. Minimum combined odds 1.5, eligibility criteria and T's and C's apply. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. Right, everybody, it's now time to talk about the big one. Now, fans of Lions Watch will remember that a few weeks ago we spoke to Alexis Guerreros from US soccer podcast The Cooligans for insight into the US ahead of the World Cup. At the time, Alexis was very confident that the US would beat England and also top the group. Well, Alexis is back. He has sent us a voice note ahead of tonight's game against England. I wonder if he is as confident now that the US have drawn their opening match.
Hello, England. Congratulations on your amazing win against Iran. And unfortunately, we drew to Wales, which really went against my plans. And had we won, I still think we would have topped the group. Now we're playing for second, which I think we will do easily after we beat England 2-1. I know a lot of you have been saying 4-0 as your prediction, which is hilarious. Buddy, we ain't Iran, bruh. And watch, after we go up 2-0 on you guys are all going to go back into the changing room and be like, damn, maybe it is called soccer.
Well, he's still very confident.
He is. And I'm very confident that Alexis knows that soccer itself is actually an English word as well. It's from association. Mm. I'm pretty sure I might have even discussed that with him at some point.
Right.
So I think this is just more of his mind games. Don't let him get in your head.
Yeah, no, he is right, which is why they're called FISA. That's why they're called the SA. You silly sausage, Alexis. Right, anyway. It's tonight. It's at 7 p.m. United Kingdom time. It's a rematch from South Africa 2010, where they drew 1-1, of course, in the group stages. Andy Brass. Are you going to be there, Andy, for the game?
I'm not, no.
Why the hell have you gone over there, then? What else are you going to be doing?
To do all the other stuff.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, we won't ask you what that is. Well, I'll tell you what, Carl Walker's feeling confident. He believes this current England team has more talent than the golden generation.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you?
Yeah, I definitely do.
They don't have the big names.
No, but I don't think that's what's at question here, is
we
it?
We want big names, Jim.
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned that he's even bringing that into it, because I think those tags are really, really unhelpful. And yeah, this is something that Southgate's been really good at moving away from.
Well, Jamie Carragher,
all it does is kind of heat pressure on, really.
Well, Jamie Carragher agrees. He said, if we were called the golden generation, then these will have to be called something pretty similar. So what, we the platinum generation now? Yeah. It's getting a little bit...
Like, let's calm down,
I
everyone.
Mean, I think that they've already... I mean, they've been to... two semi-finals. Of course, one led to a final, so it's already better than what that group of players did. It's all a bit silly. I mean, actually, I do look, if we're going to indulge that comparison for a moment, you'd think about Ashley Cole, Rio Ferdinand, John Terry, David Beckham, Gerard Lampard, Rooney. You know, these are bigger names.
Brilliant players.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, I actually think on paper that team was better. But the frustrations of England teams going all the way back until the 90s, you would say, and even in the 90s, between the two semi-finals, there was a failed qualification campaign at a tournament. It's all about the squad harmony.
Yeah, well, and I think those teams were less than the sum of their parts.
Exactly.
And these teams very much are the sum of their parts. Well, curated in a very deliberate way.
Indeed. Yeah, Southgate's angle, isn't it? To look for balance rather than necessarily just trying to wedge the best 11 players into a team.
Exactly.
Which is why I sometimes don't think he actually gets the credit. I know I bang on about, I love Southgate and all that kind of stuff because of what he's done.
I agree.
But people often say, well, with this and this chat, and unfortunately now, right-minded people are getting involved with Walker as one of the players, and then Carragher, who I really rate and like. But you get people going, well, with this team, Southgate should be doing this, and with this team, it's kind of... No, it is his team.
Mm.
We wouldn't be saying this if it was another manager. Another manager have had good teams as well. Nothing. You it was so bare for so long. So there we are. Anyway, back to the issue at hand, England versus the US. The two teams have met 11 times in total. To give you a bit of background, England are currently leading the aggregate score 39-9.
What did we just say?
I know. maybe the US will chip into that a little bit more. They've got a long way to come back in that little competition that we've just created that means absolutely nothing. However, one thing we don't need before the game, you and I, Jim, is excitement. We're already there. Perhaps Andy needs a bit of excitement. He's not going to the match. Apparently he's got a lot on elsewhere.
Stuff to do.
Andy, I want you to get up for this game, and I want you to take a leaf out of Jordan Pickford's book by essentially getting the rave on. Recently he went on Radio 1 this week. He curated a playlist of up-tempo tunes to get England hyped for the World Cup. So tunes on that playlist, Andy, include Cortina's Not 19 Forever and Cher, Believe.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Did not see that coming.
No Pitbull, regrettably.
No, that's a shame.
Andy, I mean, look, Marcus, I'll be there. Even if I've got other stuff to do, I will be there in spirit. I have got out a mascara stick as we speak and written Get the Rave on my Jordans.
Bloody love that. Good news for England is that Gareth Southgate has confirmed Kane will be fit for the match. Hence, you put in the bet on him, Jim, of course, because that would be madness. But we needed to hear recently from a prominent American about what they thought, because I think we're quite confident, understandably. England are the seeds in the group. They are in the top few favourites in most of the markets for the World Cup. So playing a team further down the rankings, you know, all the money would suggest it's England's game. But Will Ferrell has made a prediction for the game on radio this week over here, and he said, I think it's going to be a slaughter. USA 3, England 0. Aaron Ramsdale, the ever so likable Aaron Ramsdale, responded with a video message saying, Will, you're a great actor and a hero of mine. I love watching your films, but when we play your nation on Friday, you'll be the worst actor in the world.
Odd sledging, that.
Yeah, that is odd. Elf will be on the shelf. Quite like that. I don't know whether he's meant that, but...
He's absolutely meant that.
Right. And it will be a little less anchor man and more wanker man. Take care, pal. There's a lot in there.
Yeah. He and Nick Pope don't have a lot to do today, I think is what we're learning here.
Let me say, Nick Pope is never coming out with anything like that. Oh dear. And then Will Ferrell made some threat that he knew where Ramsdale lives and he's going to deliver a bag of shit on his doorstep and life. hopefully he wasn't being serious. So there we are.
I believe Will Ferrell. I mean, he's not a bandwagoner. He's a genuine football fan, isn't he?
Yeah, he loves
part
it, doesn't he?
Part owner of LAFC. Yeah. I remember when I went and did an early-ish at the match at LAFC when I was in Los Angeles, he was... standing, you know where you get the fan leaders who start the chants, loud hailer. Mm. There was this guy like standing on a box with a loud hailer with a Lucha Libre mask on, and it turned out it was actually Will Ferrell.
Well, he's got to wear the mask. He wants a bit of anonymity. He doesn't want anonymity, does he?
No, he definitely doesn't.
And we
he
don't want him to have as well.
No.
Oh, blimey! Yeah. So look, it is a big game. Of course, if England win, I mean that's. I they'd be in the next round, wouldn't they? I mean, usually it's 6 points with that goal difference. Again, as I'm saying this, there's a little voice in my head going, mathematically speaking, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But I mean, if England win, then I think Wales would want England to win. Of course, they would want England not needing much from that last game or anything.
Yes, indeed.
But of course, the US, you know, this is a chance for them. You know, joking aside with Alexis Guerreros earlier, he was saying, and a lot of people say in the US, that they're heavily influenced by the Premier League. This is like a derby game to them.
Yeah, I'm very much so. And, you know, in the first half against Wales, they looked the likely winners, didn't they? And Wales did brilliantly well to turn that around. Mm. They've got some real talent there and they've got some real pace as well. Like, they're a very, very different prospect to Iran. I think they're going to need to be contained a lot more. And England will try to set the agenda. You would think England would try and dominate the possession. But again, with that pace and with their kind of their press as well, it's going to be a lot harder. It's going to be a really different game. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
Well, they could do worse by... taken a leaf out of old Stevie Clark's book, you know, for Scotland, when they drew 0-0 with England in the Euros. Now, I know US won't want to win the game, but, you know, I think they'd probably be quite pleased with the draw pre-match and make it difficult, you know, press them. You know, England are a team who don't play well under pressure when they're being pressed, of course. And the US will know that. They're an athletic side, as everybody keeps saying. So you never know. But England are firm favourites, you know, when all said and done. And speaking from an English point of view, you think, right, go about it like you did against Iran, because it was hugely impressive for most of the game. So we shall see. Andy, what do you make of it all?
I think England are in a great position. I mean, the US were good for the first hour, I thought, at Wales. I thought it was slightly inaccurate to say it was a game of two halves, because it was a game of one two-thirds and another third, really. Mm. But, yeah, I would expect England to be on top of this. And I just think, you know, when you think of surprises of the tournament and we think of Saudi Arabia beating Argentina, for me, the way that England played in that first game was a real surprise and a real pleasant surprise.
So that was up there with Saudi Arabia beating Argentina as your surprise of the first round.
Better. Some would say. Okay. You know, I was accusing one of our production staff of having Stockholm syndrome, World Cup Stockholm syndrome, from hanging around with you. But it turns out it's me actually, thousands of miles away, getting the Speller vibes all over the place. But look,
get the Speller on.
I think
it's Malmo syndrome with him as well.
I think, like, bearing in mind that we expected, I think most reasonable people expected England and Iran to be so tight, I would just love there to be a continuation of the fact that it wasn't. I think the fact that not just England went out with intent but continued it, that Southgate used the subs really well, which is something he's been accused of not really doing in the past. I mean, I think if we go backwards, and I've talked about this again and again, the fact that no one believed that Germany under Jogi Löw could win the World Cup until they did it in 2014. Mm. So, you know, that they were seen as chokers, near misses. Whereas if you look at it in retrospect, it feels as if they were building towards it. You know, you have to get to the semi-final and get to the final and be a little bit let down because you're building towards that moment. I think you can even look at France in 2016. You know, they... they made a few little tweaks. I think they probably played better football in the back end of Euro 2016 than they did in the back end of the World Cup in 2018, give or take that Argentina game, which was ridiculously open. So I think you can see England building towards something. As Jim says, honestly, why not? I think there are four teams who can realistically win it, and England are definitely one of them.
Yeah, I'd still worry, though, if England played Spain.
Yeah, in particular Spain, actually, yeah. Is the way they've dominated possession in the way we've seen the really good Spain teams from the past.
But anyway, we're jumping ahead. We've got the US tonight. We've got the US tonight. And we will be back.
So many humiliations before that.
Indeed, yes. And all the Americans will be going, getting a bit too confident, boys, are we? Well, we will be back tomorrow to review all the action from England against US, of course, and Wales against Iran, which is currently underway. So do get involved there. Before we go, we want to thank Luke Dore on Twitter for getting
Luke Dore.
Yeah, or Dora. How would you pronounce that?
I don't know. It just sounds like somebody we know. Is it like the worst alias we've ever come across?
Yeah, well, Big Lukey D on Twitter got in touch with the latest Louis van Gaal news. Of course, in his press conference yesterday, van Gaal received the following remark from a journalist. I am a young journalist. I don't have a question for you. I just want to tell you I am a big fan of you. To which van Gaal replied, I don't hear this a lot. This is very sweet. I want to give you a hug. Later on, you and I will be hugging. He may have not used that tone to end the paragraph, but yeah, that's what they did hug.
They did. It was a lovely moment.
It was genuinely lovely. He really liked it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because with van Gaal, you don't know how he's going to react to that.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
People often aren't that sincere to him, are they? Because they are frightened of him for
true.
Good reason.
Well, a mutual friend of all of ours and a very fine journalist as well once said that he was interviewing Louis van Gaal for one of his books and said, you know, oh, so at the such and such World Cup, you know, you played a back three. What was you thinking? And van Gaal would sort of go, yes. And who did I have in my back three? Unfortunately, this journalist is the brain of Britain, so like and very good knowledge, so to remember. He went, oh yeah, very good. And it was like, okay, you can now answer another question. You've unlocked another question. You know? he was like really kind
of wants to talk to Louis van Gaal.
Well, he said he was a great interviewee, but was very much kept you on your toes, which again I can imagine is true of the man. Now Wales versus Iran has kicked off whilst we've been doing this episode. So that means we are unable to preview, of course, on today's show. But Jim and I will be live on Twitch straight after full time in that match to give you your Welsh football fix as we offer up our initial reaction to the game, whatever the result. So to get into that, head to twitch.tv/thefootballramble to join in the fun. And of course, we will be back tomorrow to review all the action in the Wales game and obviously England versus the US. So that is tomorrow. So lots going on, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Football Ramble, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy and Qatar.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you on Twitch, and then we'll see you tomorrow for more Ramble action. Lots of love. Well, I haven't opened the weekend, have I? The weekend's open, everybody. Oh, dear. You can all go out and watch the football. The keys are in the lock. Pitbull's playing, and England versus the US will be on telly soon. There we go. God, sorry, everybody.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him,
Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.